Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are into the football season here. We're also into the crab cake season and the tastiness eating season. We're counting it down. All of it brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness, the 27 favorite places I have to eat. Actually, the favorite things I like to eat, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here this week. The top five is all part of our 27th anniversary around here. We're gonna be doing the crab cake tour on Tuesday at the Beaumont in Catonsville. I'm gonna be joined by Councilman Pat Young. My attorney friend Chad Koz is going to come by and talk about seventh grade social studies and democracy and basic things about the Constitution. And we're probably going to have some crab cakes as well as some lamb chops because my wife says, why would you feature the fried lobster there? You should have featured the lamb chops. So lamb chops for all my friends with that special peach sauce. It's delicious. I'll also have scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery and the new Ravens scratch-offs on Tuesday as we crank up the crab cake tour. They're going to crank up football at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I guess we're rubbing the Browns' nose in the fact that we stole their football team 30 years ago. Joe Flacco's coming back to try to beat the Ravens here this week. And the Ravens are 0-1, and the Browns are 0-1, but the Browns, it's not that the Ravens couldn't have, shouldn't have won. We all know that. Browns played pretty good football games. Scott Petrak has covered all things Browns for a long, long time. Elyria, I've learned how to say it. The Chronicle and Telegram out in the greater Ohio area. Scott, man, I vacationed in Cleveland last summer. I know you find I went out. It had nothing to do with sports, nothing to do with football, baseball, the Jake, the Guardians, the Indians, the Tribe, the Browns, not even the Lumberjacks, nothing at all. I went to Blossom for 2 nights in a row and saw concerts. Wow, man. I mean, Blossom was like what Merriweather was 40 years ago. It's just like I would drive back out there right now to see Thomas Dolby and Sammy Hagar do Van Halen songs all over again. So I love your place, man.
Yeah, it's a good place to see a show as long as you can get out of it, right? The traffic's a little bit of a hassle getting out of there, but it's a great
It's a
place to see a
farm
show.
road, man. Nice people at Blossom. They saved my life that night. They really did. All right, Joe Flacco. Back under center. I don't know if you could fantasize what it would have looked like last year. I mean, he went and played in Indianapolis for a minute. I always preface, and maybe you know this, I am the Joe Flacco defender. I am the guy from the minute he got here that said he would deliver a Super Bowl, did. And he is my all-time. He is to me what Bernie Kosar is to all of Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah.
love Joe. So seeing Joe come in this week and try to take their lunch money, it is really something. But it also speaks to where the Browns are, right?
It does. It does. And you talk about last year, it couldn't have been any worse, right? They go 3-14. The quarterback play was awful. But yeah, I think, the Browns are in a weird spot. It's a transition with the roster. They're, had no salary cap money to spend. In the offseason, they still owe Deshaun Watson through 2026. And then beyond with the dead cap money. So they're trying to figure out what to do from a roster standpoint. They drafted two rookies at the quarterback, but they're not ready. And they think Joe gives them the best chance to win, and I think he does too. Played really well Sunday against the Bengals. So it's going to be fascinating to see how he handles this return to Baltimore. I expect it to be emotional for him. He was really good with the ball against the Bengals. He had two interceptions, but they both went off receivers' hands. Does he try to force stuff against Baltimore? Does the pressure get to him, like the pass rush pressure get to him and force him into a mistake? But he still throws it great. I think he still makes good decisions. To me, he clearly gives the Browns the best chance to win this season. It's just a matter of how the season goes, how long they stick with him before, do they go to a rookie before they go to the rookie? Those are all the kind of big picture questions facing the Browns.
Yeah, Joe's emotions, man. I've been with Joe. I've been in Joe's home. I've been a lot of places with Joe before he won, after he lost, right? The Foxborough game and, the Lee Evans and the Billy Cundiff. And I mean, I'm just unabashed. I've done this all of my life since I was 15 years old. Joe Flacco is my all-time favorite. I don't, and having him have a moment where he can come back and try to beat them. That is so Joe. Joe's just give me a chance. Just give me, bet against me, do whatever you want. He would say it a lot more brazen South Jersey because he had a statement about this. Let's go F him up. That was always his thing. Let's go F him up. That was always his line. I can't imagine that this is going to be emotional any more than, you know what? It's a Rocky moment. He has one chance, one day. It's like a Kentucky Derby horse. He's not going to get another chance to come. He's not coming back in 2 years from now leading the Giants, I don't think. And he certainly brings a decent football team. And the Ravens are a little on the ropes. And the Ravens have to play the Lions next week, and the Chiefs after that, and the Texans after that, and the Rams after that. And the Steelers look good, and the Bengals are going to be good. So, like, I don't see this as a double-digit dog freebie thing that Flacco is going to throw four picks this week. I don't know. Defense looked pretty good. Schwartz looked like he had him baked up pretty good after first drive or two with Burrow. The thing slowed down a little bit. And I know that there are a couple of elite players, Myles Garrett being one, that can be a little bit of a home wrecker.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, the size of the spread surprised me when I saw it for the first time. I think the Browns defense is legit, and I felt that way before week one. Week one affirmed what I was thinking. My biggest question was at corner. They lost Martin Emerson Jr. for the season. Greg Newsome the second played really well, and he had a lot of one-on-one time with Ja'Marr Chase. I think Chase finished with two catches for 26. There's one PI at Newsome. It was, a little borderline call. So if Newsom plays like that, Denzel Ward's great on the other side. Then this defense really has a chance. They're loaded up front. We talk about Myles Garrett, drafted Mason Graham, number five, signed Malik Collins in free agency. They got a bunch of ends that they rotate. Carson Schlesinger, the rookie linebacker at UCLA, is all over the field. Now, the Ravens are different, right? Lamar's different. Derrick Henry's different. Schlesinger, is he going to be out in space with Lamar sometimes? And then he's got to be able to tackle Lamar. And we all know that that takes a while to get used to, and I think the longer you play Lamar, you have a better chance. Not a great chance, but you have a better chance to handle him. So, does a rookie struggle with that? We'll see. But I do think the Browns defense is legit. It's a matter of can they score enough points? And we saw that week one. We had the missed kicks, you drop passes. I don't know if there's enough explosiveness to this offense, but I think they're going to hang around. And if they can get any kind of turnovers, I mean, that's what's killing this defense. It killed it last year. It hurt it week one. It needs to get some turnovers.
Well, they also need to learn how to run the ball. I mean, if Joe Flacco is your quarterback, I'll buy that in any given week, he can play the kind of football to not hurt you. He will throw picks because he's a gunslinger. He will throw picks, and that might hurt you, right? But all that being said, play good defense. I'm with you on the turnover side, but run the football. And if they can't run the football on Sunday, they're going to need an act of God and some luck. I mean, because I think the Ravens are clearly for three quarters, they look like the team that we thought was going to be that team. Defensively, however, and when it really comes down to the ticker, and when it comes down to this specific matchup, and teams that play Lamar well in conference, teams that see Lamar more often, play Lamar a little bit more honest than, let's say, NFC teams that get trounced by Lamar, who don't have a plan for it. Jim Schwartz will have a plan. Now, whether it can be executed or not, and whether they can get a break, and whether what happened to Flacco last week, ball pops up in the air twice off of receivers. I mean, I said to my wife, there used to be two numbers for the receivers. I said, he hit in between the th and the re, and the ball went up in the air. And I was in the other room. My wife's like, Flacco just threw an interception. And I came in. My wife loves Joe too. She wasn't talking bad about Joe. She's Saint Joe around here. So Scott, you laugh. That's what happens when you have Super Bowl parades. No
Right,
offense
right.
to you know what I mean? Whoever
No, I
wins your
hear you.
Super Bowl parade, they're knighted. They're good. They don't, even if it's Nick Foles. But
I think she's
nonetheless,
fallen in love with Joe.
she yells at the TV. She's yelling at me, Flacco threw a pick. I came in. I'm like, that's not on him. And I'm like, what? So even the picks he threw, are you shocked by the fact that he is the quarterback and that he's playing? And there's really some lore. I've been running this week. Joe sat with me for like an hour after the Cleveland Miracle a year and a half ago, and then sat with me after the Indianapolis. Sat with me like in February for a while, and I'm rerunning those conversations because they're a lot about parenting and life and why he's still playing and like all of that stuff. But there is a point where like they're never going to take this away from him, and the fact that he's playing. When I saw them drafting Shedeur Sanders and stuff, I'm like, I know Joe's soul. There's a reason he's my favorite player, and it's because he's just never going to quit, man. Like, and he on Sunday, I sat here and watched him. I almost want to go to the game this week with his family just to see him play this game because it's such a It's building up for me to be his one chance to come in here. And he might not win, but I think he'll play well. I think he'll play well.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a couple things. My surprise is his starter. Like, if you take a few steps back and said, last January or in January, hey, would Joe Flacco be the starter? I would say no way. But once he got here, and then you look at the competition, and you look at it's Kenny Pickett, and you look at two rookies, and one of them's 5'11", I would have said, yeah, Joe Flacco is going to be the guy, especially given 3-14 last year, given just the reality of it. I don't think the Browns coaching staff and front office can go through another 3-14 and come back. Like, I think they want to bring, I think ownership wants to bring them back, but you got to win some games. And like I said, Joe gives them the best chance. So once you got into it and Joe got here, I was like, yeah, it makes sense that Joe's going to be the starter. The Joe going back to Baltimore, I feel like I know him a little bit, but obviously you know him way better. It's interesting how you think he's going to handle the emotions or any of the emotions of it. But in 2023, when the Browns made the playoffs, there was a chance that they had beaten Houston, they would have played Baltimore. So there was a little bit of that discussion with Joe, not like getting ahead of themselves, but it was, hey, what if it's Baltimore?
And
And you
it was
could
like that
see
was
it.
a game there that really was on. I mean, it really unraveled that playoff game, and I felt terrible about it because I was like, I just wanted that to be a better showing for Joe, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you threw two pick sixes, and that stuck with them from the Cleveland standpoint and from the fan base standpoint. Oh, remember he threw those two pick sixes, and he did, but they were also down big early. The defense didn't stop Houston at all in the first half, and Joe's trying to make a play. He's just trying to come back. You're down 21, whatever. You got to make some
I
throws.
hope he
So,
doesn't throw two pick sixes here.
right?
So I hope it's competitive. I want to see a competitive football game from him. You know, I want to see him come in here and play well here. That's all, you know.
If he does, I got a chance, right? And I think he will. I do. You talked about throwing interceptions. They can't be back-breaking interceptions. Like, that's how this game gets out of hand if that happens.
Right. Can they be effective offensively? When I saw Jerry Jeudy drop a ball, I said to my wife, I'm like, oh my God, they drafted him in Denver when Joe went to Denver to save him, you know? And now he's in Cleveland.
Well, I tell you what, Judy had a great year last year. I mean, it was a Pro Bowl year. He caught 90 balls for 1,200 yards. He had a great year. He had a drop and then the tough pick that went off his hands. I think he's good. I question the receivers after him. Their tight ends are good. Njoku's good. The rookie Harold Fannin Jr., they targeted him 9 times. He caught 7 balls. They had one drop, but like, there's something to him. You mentioned the run game, and that's going to be pivotal. I think they'll block it better week two than they did week one. It's a lot of veterans. I think they'll figure some stuff out. But they need Quinshon Judkins. They drafted the guy number 36 to be their, bell cow running back. Then he gets arrested. Then it gets cleared, and that he still doesn't sign until Saturday. So he hasn't practiced until this week. And they're optimistic that he'll play Sunday. But if he plays, is it going to be 8 carries, 10 carries? It's not going to be 20 carries. But maybe that, because he's a legit, 5'11", 221, he's a back. Can he give that running game a big jump, a jump start and a boost? I think there's that chance. And I think he will as the season goes on. My question is, will it happen in Baltimore? And if it does, and you have that balance with Joe, then yeah, I think this offense, I don't think the offense is going to score 30. I just don't. But can they win 24-23? Yeah, they could do that.
Scott Petrek is here. He has covered all things Cleveland sports for many, many. How many years back now? When did you begin your career?
04 was my first year on the beat. Yeah,
Okay, so
I mean, I was
21
doing some
years.
stuff in 99, but 04 was the first every day out there in Berea.
Well, that's a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of press conferences. I kidded Daryl Ryder the other day, and now that I've had you on, all the Facebook feeds are of Joe Flacco, and people, and Facebook knows that I have an affinity, and I have a million pictures with Joe Flacco over a million years, and like, so it shows up. So all of his Cleveland stuff, I see what he says and the way he presents himself, and I miss me some Joe Flacco. There'll never be another one like him, but you got him there in these press conferences. What's it like to have that sort of grown-up dude around in the general sense at this point, the 41-year-old version of him or whatever it is, when you've had this revolving cast of Deshaun Watson and the drama that you've had there?
Well, it's great. And I go back to 2023, and I think it's dangerous to say, can he recreate what he did and what he and they did in 23? But He was such a breath of fresh air after the whole Deshaun Watson mess, which started in 22, so that was only 2 years of it. But you had a year and a half of, Deshaun Watson and all that encompasses. And then you have Flacco come in. And, from a personal standpoint, it was great to deal with a guy like that. You can approach him. Right? You can talk to him in his locker. You can talk to him at the podium. He's just great. And then the fan base, he energized the fan base and he allowed them to move past, at least temporarily, all the Watson garbage. So it was just this. Like just this breath of fresh air for everything involved with the Browns, and then he brought some of that back this year. So he's great to deal with. I sat down with him for I don't know 10 or 12 minutes before the season started, and we just talked throwing because I'm fascinated by throwing, and he's one of the best throwers still in the league. Right over the last 20 years, he's one of the best throwers of the ball in the NFL, and we just talked about that. How, did his motion ever change, and the baseball, the football, motion and the throwing. And I got a kick out of it. I think Joe appreciated that we were talking about him being 40 and trying to come back. So yeah, he's interesting, and I am looking forward to seeing how he handles this whole week, and what's that balance of emotions, and is it like you said, are they not there, or does he kind of let you in and say, yeah, it's going to be something to see?
I'm going to re-release chapter 8 from Purple Rain 2, which was my favorite chapter that I went up and spent 2 days with him at his house up in Audubon. And, I knew his dad from the beginning, but just what a special person he is. And the fact that he's still doing this, I just want to stand up and applaud and yell bravo. The fact that he's navigated to the point where he could bring the Cleveland Browns in here in a week two. And Scott, I would say to you that when the schedule came out, when did they sign Joe? I'm gonna put you on the spot. Was it March or was it June?
No, it was April. It was before the draft. It was either late March or late April.
Okay, so it was before the schedule came out. When the
Oh
schedule
yeah,
came out
for
in
sure.
early May, I saw Cleveland week two. I'm like, Flacco will be the starter. And the Ravens better hope they're 1-0 and not 0-1. And you saw the meltdown that they had the other day, which brings me to Jimmy Schwartz, the pride of Arbutus, my one-time co-host, cohort, Rush aficionado, and heavy metal head. I love me some Schwartzy, and he's always bakes up trying to win here, like it's important to him. The Ravens were, well, not his first gig. The Browns are really his first gig, and then the Ravens were his early gig, but he's been chasing him and trying to beat him ever since. Myles Garrett, I haven't talked to Schwartz in a bit, but I would ask him if Myles Garrett's the best player he's ever coached, and he's had a lot of them, a lot of great players, defensive players. But where Myles Garrett is right now and the way you can use him as a game wrecker, and the same can be said for Kyle Hamilton on the Ravens side. He's a really special, unique chess piece, that's like a queen plus on a chessboard. But Myles Garrett can wreck a game, and there's talent over there. And Schwartz generally gets good scheme going, generally has a plan for Lamar, has bodies. They draft for this, they draft for speed. They figured out Burrow for a minute last week. I have no problem thinking this game's 26-20, and a couple things go wrong for the Ravens and a special teams this and that, and the Browns kicker will miss a kick. Somebody will miss some kicks, which allows me to talk about Justin Tucker and their offseason around here. But in a general sense, I feel like their defense can keep this close and that Myles Garrett's really unappreciated. But more than that, that was a tumultuous offseason. If you had asked me at any point whether I'd see Myles Garrett in a Cleveland Browns helmet anytime soon again, I would have said, nah, probably not.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's certainly a game wrecker. I think Schwartz will have a good plan. I mean, the Bengals, you said the Bengals got out to a good start, but in the second half, they had 7 yards and one first down. The fourth quarter, they were minus 18 yards. So the defense just kept getting better and better against a really talented Bengals offense. So they have the capability of doing that. I see the game playing out, like you mentioned. I think the Ravens are going to score some just because they're so talented and Lamar's Lamar. I think the Browns will probably score a funky number because I don't know if their kicker is going to make any kicks. But when you talk about Jim Schwartz and what he can do with those guys, and Myles Garrett in particular, I think Myles Garrett's the best defensive player he's coached. And I think Schwartz, he said that. He compares him to a guy like Calvin Johnson that just changes everything. And the other team spends so much time focused on him. And that's what offenses do to Myles Garrett. And then his offseason, it's interesting. I was wondering how Myles would be treated coming back off the trade request. And, you go out to training camp practices, it's all the diehards, and they embrace him. And there's no, I never sensed any kind of animosity toward Myles. I think if stuff goes wrong, then you'll see it. Hey, you never wanted to be here. You don't want to be here. That kind of thing. I just think Myles got really bad advice that he was so public about wanting the trade request. And the Browns had leverage because he's still under contract for multiple years. And they know that he's their best player. And you can't have that on your legacy is signing Deshaun Watson and then trading Myles Garrett. Like, that's Andrew Berry couldn't afford to do that. And they were never going to get the value for Myles Garrett. And I think when we look at the Micah Parsons trade, okay, the Cowboys get two low first rounders, or I expect them to be low first rounders, and a, veteran D tackle.
Well, when
Again.
you weigh out your salary cap at 22%
Yeah.
for a defensive player, you're changing the complexion of what quarterbacks are. And I don't know, man. There's only so much you can do where you're going to give up collateral and money.
Oh,
It's kind
no,
of
I
like
get it.
baseball deals at the trade deadline now. Like, I'm not giving money and draft picks. I'll do one or the other because, and especially in football where the draft picks are the money and are the gold, especially, in the early years, like it is in baseball, I guess, but with the salary cap, the minute somebody wants $50 million to be a defensive player, you have to really think, like, I got a quarterback I got to sign too.
No, you do, but that's why if you have one, I think you hang on to him, and you're never going to get, for all the reasons you just said, you're never going to get proper value. And I think that's how the Browns looked at it. And
That's how the Ravens got Roquan Smith, sort of, kind of, too, right?
sure, but you just it's just it, Myles is so different than I think every other guy in the league. It didn't make sense. And while everybody expected him to be traded, if you talk to anybody within the Browns, it wasn't going to happen. And so that's where my mindset was always going to be. No, he's going to be here. He's going to be here. And how are they going to work it out? And, there's a ton of money that works it out. But there's also the Browns saying, hey, we're not going to deal you. And Myles understanding that reality and then thinking, hey, I don't want to burn bridges here because he likes to be liked. He loves to be loved. He's a huge fan favorite. He realized, hey, I got to come back. I got to say, this is where I want to be. The money helps. And now it's can they get to a point where they can actually win sometime in the next couple of years to keep that frustration from again boiling over?
Scott Petrak is here. He covers all things Cleveland, and the Cleveland Browns are up against the Ravens this week. And Joe Flacco's in. It's a lot more interesting than a normal Browns Ravens game, I think, for a lot of reasons, with the Ravens having lost on Sunday night as well, staring down. So just a lot more pressure on this side, certainly, Scott. And I know you're coming in for the game. I hope to get your crab cake before you get out of here. I think you're going to feel some tension. And I talked to Luke about that a lot this week, that like a three and out for the offense for the Ravens wouldn't go well. Something bad. Flacco leads a drive that ends somehow in 6 points, and it's 7-0 Cleveland 3.5 minutes into the game. And like, I could see this getting ugly on the Baltimore side because like the Ravens have to go win the Super Bowl every week now. Like, and it's crazy. They can't. But that's where they are in the franchise 6, 7, 8 years into this Lamar thing, where like these disappointments and losing to the Bills and losing to the Chiefs and losing at home and losing on the road and Mark Andrews dropping the ball and all of that. But at 0-1, if somehow they're behind at any point in this game, like it would just be, it could get crazy in a way that maybe you've never seen it. And I know you've been coming in here for 20 years.
It's interesting. From the Browns' perspective, I'm listening from driving home from the stadium Sunday night and then watching the finish of it once I got home, going, okay, from a Browns' perspective, are they better off if Baltimore wins? If Baltimore wins a big game on Sunday night, is there any kind of letdown week two? And I think there might have been, right? But then now you look at it as like, is Baltimore fuming, like the team, right? Are the Ravens fuming? Are they going to be on top of their game and they just come out and say, hey, that was a disaster at the end of Buffalo, but this is who we are, and we're really a Super Bowl team. Or is there that pressure you mentioned? So I think it's gonna be interesting to see how the Ravens handle that out of the gate. If the Browns can get off to a good start, does that have Baltimore on its heels? How the crowd reacts. I think it's gonna be interesting to see how that is.
Well, Schwartz
Obviously,
was
huge game
always
for the
on the
Browns.
psychological game, and I've spent a lot of time around Flacco, and I've spent a little bit of time because they wouldn't let me spend any time around Lamar. So, but from what I see of Lamar and where I am, more mature than he used to be, but still very quick to pound the ground and have a lot of self-loathing after anything goes wrong, where Joe just focuses on the next play, and he's been that way since he was a kid. So I would tell you that the Ravens' biggest problem, and Schwartz would love this from a two-beer perspective on a psychological side, is what happens when something goes wrong. What happens when you get punched in the mouth? Because this team here, the Marlon Humphreys and the Ronnie Stanleys and Lamar Jacksons and the Mark Andrews, you know what? They don't have choke, but they have CHO at this point, 8 years in, and the way they lose games and the double digit losses that they're hanging Harbaugh for this, and that's fine too, because I think Harbaugh's I don't think much of, I think a lot of things of Harbaugh, none of it's good. And when there's statistics that back up that Harbaugh is involved in all of these double digit comebacks, this is, again, they don't have choke, but they have CHO. Not just in Nestor's book, in everybody's book. And when you come in, the idea is have something go wrong and let's see how it goes. Just make something go wrong and watch what happens as they unravel.
It's really interesting, and you see these teams, and it's across sports, right? I think the Cavaliers are kind of at this point right now in the NBA, where it's all about the playoffs, right? It's all about the Super Bowl. So if they can win week one, win week two, and it's okay, that's great. But what are you going to do once you get to January? But if you lose in September, right, then the questions become different. The pressure feels different. And I think that's where the Ravens are. I think that's where the Bills are, right? There's a few teams in this league like that, and the Ravens are certainly at the top of the list. I mean, I think they're clear and away the best team in the division, and I think they're the only team in the division that's going to make the playoffs. But if you tell me they start 0-3, then, my mind might change a bit.
Yeah, you and the gamblers putting 13 points on it, on Sunday would say that Joe Flacco has no chance, Myles Garrett has no chance. This is a walkover. This is the Ravens laughing and slashing and running and playing angry. Hey, great. I believe they're capable of that. I believe there will be weeks when that will happen. This better be one of them. And I'm telling you, I also have seen Joe Flacco's act. I watched them play last week, play tough, play stronger and harder than you think they are. Myles Garrett still might be the best player on the field, and that's saying something. When Lamar's on the field, Derrick Henry's on the field. I mean, there's an argument to be made. When Hall of Fame vote time comes, Lamar may go to a dozen more playoff games, lose them all. Myles Garrett may never play in a playoff game and go to the Hall of Fame quicker. Like, that's how crazy when we start to talk about individual players, and that's what makes us. This is a way juicier week two game than anything I've experienced. And they lost week one last year, right? And then lost to the Raiders in week two. So there's some pedigree for all of this to be careful if you're wagering and taking all those points. Scott Petrak is here. He is out in Cleveland. Tell everybody, you covered the guard and the Cavaliers. You covered all, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do less of that now with the Browns. I got to a bunch of Guardians playoff games last year when they made that little run to the ALCS. It's been a while since I've been at a Cavs game, but yeah, I see it all.
Yeah, Ohio State always makes it interesting. We're waiting for Maryland to make that interesting around here, man. Thanks for your wisdom on, have they figured their kicker out? What are they're I mean, all I saw was Flacco making like kicker things, and we've had the whole kicker thing here the whole off season, man.
No, I mean, they're going to keep Andre Schmidt is going to be the guy for week two. They decided not to make a change. But, it's a tough spot. They liked what they saw of him in the preseason and training camp. Kid's got a big leg. I don't know if there's a bunch of great alternatives out there. We saw the Niners make a change. Buffalo had to pick up a kicker at the end of the, before week one. But they're going to ride it out. But if you're Kevin Stefanski, I don't know how you could feel good sending this kid out for anything. Extra point, game winner to, 42-yarder to win the game. I just don't really have a whole lot of confidence in him.
As a real journalist, Scott, I hope you read all of the Justin Tucker information. I've had the journalist on who had threats made to them, all the legal eagles, all the NFL's, shoving this under the rug and the 10-game suspension. And he might wind up being your kicker in week 11, right? Like, he's going to kick again on the league and they're going to pretend none of this happened. And the Ravens are going to continue to pretend it was a football decision and blah, blah, blah. But dude, I spent 5 months, 8 months here talking about kickers and who's going to kick and why he's going to kick. And you know what? They lost by a point on Sunday night in Buffalo. And their kicker doinked an extra point. So,
Right.
like, we sit here and Lamar this and Derrick Henry that and Flacco this and, Njoku that and all that. And it still comes down to Joe Flacco was making excuses for losing because the kicker missed kicks, clearly. And the Ravens, the whole thing fell apart and they didn't have the extra point that they needed.
No, I hear you. And I'm telling you, if they sign Justin Tucker in week 11, my head's going to explode because with the Deshaun Watson history, I just don't want to write about that again.
Yeah, well, it comes back to owners wanting to take it on or not take it on. So if you're Rashee Rice, you're back on the field. Scott Petrak is here. He has been doing it for a long, long time, almost going into 3 decades at the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. And I always appreciate your wisdom on all things Cleveland. And yeah, next time I get into Cleveland, it'll be for like a Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing or whatever. I got to get everybody down to Lucky's and get you some of those scones and a little shipwreck down there in Tremont. I miss my trips into Cleveland, man. I really do.
There you go.
I just said I miss Cleveland. Gosh, strike me down with lightning. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Doing some great, great conversation this week as Joe Flacco comes back in and tries to take John Harbaugh's lunch money. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.